Welcome back to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with Tim Henney. We were just speaking with Allison Page of Trail Talk. And now, well, as we all know, I think there were so many events in May for May Mental Health Awareness Month. If we didn't know, and we live in this community, that it was May Mental Health Awareness Month, then I think our head was in the sand. But it was the third year that Connect Summit County provided this plethora of opportunities for the community to increase awareness around issues of mental health, emotional wellness, and substance abuse. At the same time, the Summit County Mental Health Alliance has been very busy implementing action items and that are identified in its strategic plan. It's been a productive year, and here to review what's been accomplished and take a look at ahead and also explain this clubhouse concept are Erin Newman with the Summit County Mental Health Alliance and Lynn Rutan with Connect Summit County. And welcome to both of you, and good morning.
Good morning to you.
Morning.
Well, it's interesting because I had heard a lot in the media about the clubhouse, and I kept wondering, what is this clubhouse? And so I got myself to a meeting last week.
Thank
and
you
now
for attending.
I know a little bit more about what it is. But Lynn, why don't we start with you and you can explain.
The clubhouse is they call it a psychosocial rehabilitation program. It's an evidence-based and very long-standing international program. It's a model that will provide pre-employment training and social skills development for people with severe and persistent mental illness and substance abuse. And those two things so often come together. And that sounds all very theoretical, but on the ground, it's a place, it's a community, it's a place where people with mental illness can build a community. Probably the worst problems for a person with mental illness is the isolation, and it's also a problem with developing or redeveloping job skills when they've had to be in treatment or, unfortunately, in incarceration, which too often takes the place of treatment. Mm-hmm. And so our family has a personal reason for working for this. Our own son has been has been hospitalized for almost a year, and he's working hard to reintegrate himself and learn to live back in society. And he wants to come back to Park City. He's very excited about it. It's his home. It's his town, but there are no places, really, there are no services, really, for him to learn those social skills, learn those re-entry skills. And so we see that a clubhouse would be one of the ways to really bring these kinds of services. But it's there are clubhouses, actually there are four clubhouses in Utah now. And so we've been talking closely with these clubhouses. And Alliance House is in Salt Lake, and it serves, 300 people.
Wow.
It's a great program. And they are also a training facility for clubhouses around the world. So we're very lucky to have them there because it's a very specific model.
The Alliance House, you had a couple people from the Alliance House come up to the meeting, and there was this gentleman who had some very severe PTSD who spoke, who has been very active. And I think that's when it hit home for me to realize what it is to transition to what he's doing is where he's helping himself, but he's helping others as well. Erin, maybe you could tell the story.
Well, no, I think what you just spoke on and the story Lynn just shared, these are not unique within our community. When we were putting together a strategic plan and identified reintegration as one of our key priorities, it was a story that we heard multiple times from multiple sources. So we identified this as a resource we needed to investigate and try to bring to our community. as you heard the stories that were just shared there by the staff and this individual, the clubhouse model is an impactful model. It really changed his life. When I spoke to him afterwards, he said, yeah, I'm actually thinking about running for the board now for the Alliance House, because it meant so much for him. And one of the things when I was talking with him afterwards, he said, yeah, I was nobody. I was just a fly that people would swat at all the time, was his analogy. Now I can stand in a room and people see me as a human again. That's impactful. I mean, I almost started to tearing, and here I am, a 6'3" guy. I don't really cry. And to hear those types of stories, and that wasn't the only time we heard something similar. Lynn and I had the opportunity to go down with Max Ventura from the Christian Center and meet with the staff and several of their participants at Alliance House, and kept seeing and hearing a reoccurring theme that this gave these people purpose. It gave them their humanity back. And so we were driving back in the car, and we said, you know what, we thought about this. We knew this was a program we wanted to do. We put it in the strategic plan, but we put it out in year 3 and 4 to really start activating. Next thing we know, the Christian Center's interested in getting involved with what we're doing. And the biggest hurdle to starting any of these programs anywhere is finding a location. And right now,
especially here.
Yes. And right now they're willing to help be that startup location for us. To provide that space for these individuals to come together, to engage in the model, to learn these skills, to practice those skills with the services that are at the Christian Center, with their catering kitchen, with the boutique and these other areas, and then work with businesses locally then to be that next partnership where we can get them out into the community with this to be able to make an income and something to gain that independence back.
You know, that integration piece is so interesting, and it's not just with this clubhouse concept, although I think it's related as well, because, you know, Drug Court is doing mm-hmm. something, and they're looking at reintegrating people and creating a different, an alternate path, right? And it seems much more cost-effective. It seems better for society in general. But I'm always wondering about integration's kind of at this end of what's going on, and, you know, we still have this end of what's going on, which is why people are suffering the way that they're suffering, mm-hmm. and that's probably a whole nother one of the elements of your strategic mm-hmm. plan, I would think. But inside Park City, do we have any idea of what population we would be attempting to address, the numbers? How many people in general, you know, would a clubhouse be set up for here?
We're currently collecting that data right now through a survey to the different providers, trying to get a sense of how many of their clients do you think would fit this model. We asked that question last year, and we had roughly about 30 people identified. We just want to verify that number right now. And I know Lynn has spoken to other people about that.
Right. Again, part of the problem with mental illness is the isolation. So we are talking with providers, and that includes the hospital, people's health clinic, as well as private providers. But we believe that people will start coming out who wouldn't otherwise be necessarily known as having mental health issues that could be addressed this way, because of the stigma, they don't talk about the problems.
And I would think also there's just a percentage of, gosh, I don't even know how to put this, but that transitional aspect, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. we're trying to reintegrate, but there are probably people who are not able, don't have the capacity to be mm-hmm. reintegrated. And then there are people who find it, you know, they don't need help to reintegrate. But I would imagine everybody who's in this particular position would need some support and assistance in reintegration.
And they do talk about the clubhouse as a launching pad, not a landing strip, a launch pad, which I think is a great analogy. I think the idea of pushing these people, not pushing them, supporting them as they move toward independence in the community is great. And I didn't really explain that before, but the way the clubhouse works is if you have a mental health diagnosis, you are a member of the clubhouse, or you can become a member of a clubhouse. And the clubhouse is run by the members themselves. There is paid staff, but it's minimal, because the point is that the members are learning job training. They're also learning team building. social skills that are really as necessary as actual skills for holding a job. And then, they gain this huge self-confidence by being members. So the clubhouse is very much a changing and shifting program depending on the makeup of the members. And we are looking for potential members who have lived experience to help with the development of the programs for the clubhouse. So,
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Erin Newman of the Summit County Mental Health Alliance and Lynn Rutan of Connect Summit County about this clubhouse concept. And Erin, you mentioned it in, or one of you mentioned the Alliance House serves 300 people. So what does that look like? Do you come in for a couple hours a week? Do some of these clubhouses have, do people live there? Do you have specific job duties? How does it work?
It is all of those things, okay. Actually, depending on the clubhouse. And that's why we're so interested in the model, because there are a lot of opportunities, but we can tailor it to the needs of our community. But it is all volunteer, and the person can come in if they can handle a couple of hours. The ultimate goal is to get them to be part of an 8-hour work order day, and so it just depends where they are on their
and an important part
rehabilitation.
With that, and an important part with that as well is, as we talked earlier, the members aren't just members; they're helping make the decisions in the management of the programs. They're selecting where they want to, what companies they want to reach out to, and say, you know what, we'd really love to be part of. Have Vail help us out with this, with employment or this area here, and that really it becomes their own empowered program. It's something that they take a lot of pride in. When we were down there, the gentleman behind the coffee bar 3 times came over and said, "You sure you guys don't want any coffee? We've got lots of coffee here. I can make you some fresh right now." Even when we were leaving, he was saying, "You guys want any coffee for the road?" And you could just tell the pride he had working with that. And he was so open and just sharing his story with us on how he got involved with the clubhouse and, more importantly, how it's changed his life and turned it around.
Yeah.
In terms of the one question you asked, these are non-residential facilities.
Okay.
So we would still, for individuals, potentially still be on the lookout, in addition to this program, housing, which is something we're also looking at in the strategic plan.
Yeah. I wanted to mention, you've talked about giving people purpose, giving them training, giving them a mission in life, that feeling counters the isolation that one must feel. And I was even thinking about drug court, because I saw someone who I know is in drug court working at one of our local nonprofits the other day. And I thought, it must make this person feel really good, because it must be isolating to be in that place. So you can be integrated. And and there was one other point, which I'm forgetting right now, but, it's about, I know what it is. It's that once you've been through, either a mental health crisis or whatever it may be, it's gives you compassion for other people who are experiencing it. And there's no greater compassion than having been there yourself. Mm-hmm. And so, like the gentleman that came up to visit and to tell his story, that's one point
he
they were
really
making about him
back.
Is that he is better than, just about any therapist, because he has so much compassion and he's been there.
Mm-hmm. And they set an example that other people who are going through some of those issues can look at and say, well, he did that. I can do that.
Right.
So you two have had quite a year kind of working in parallel. But Lynn, this is the third year of Connect. And as Lynn said in the introduction, a plethora of opportunities for the community to increase their awareness about mental health and wellness. Any big takeaway from this past year?
We had an attendance of over 2,400 people for our more than 20 events. So it indicates that the community really is interested in this subject. And the whole point of the community education is to break down the stigma about it, that it really is okay to talk about mental health, mental health issues, as well as mental wellness. And now we are really moving, we are going to continue our education programs. We're looking for an educational coordinator, educational program coordinator as we speak. So that the education component will continue to be very important. But our ultimate goal is not necessarily to provide, but encourage the development of more services for people with mental health issues in Summit County.
Right.
So we're working in all areas, and fortunately we have the Summit County Mental Wellness Alliance as a great partner and umbrella as well. So,
well, and I'll add to this too, the work Connect is doing has been critical to everything we're doing with the Alliance and the strategic plan. In preparation for that annual report we released, I forgot to put this figure in there, but I just shared it with Rich. When we look at our 210 active members, we had close to over 23,000 hours donated to the work in mental health in this community. That's roughly about 10 and a half full-time employees working 40 hours a week on this program. We couldn't do that. Right now it's myself and Mary Krista. Two of us, we don't have that time right now. Mm-hmm. We're doing long days, but having these community volunteers really be part of this, not only in creating the strategic plan, but also the solution and doing that on-the-ground level work for us, such as Connect with advocating for different services in the community, for Roy Parker and the Summit County Recovery Foundation and finding housing for people in drug court. The list just goes on and on of our partners that are making all of this possible.
And we are looking for the clubhouse. Our big thing is to develop a startup group, and our next meeting will be July 9th, and we encourage anyone who might be interested in helping with this great program. It would be potential members, it would be family, friends, and loved ones. It would be medical, mental health, and medical professionals with clients, community leaders, social activists, and residents who are interested in mental health, in providing more mental health services. So that's our big push.
Great. If you leave that for us, we'll be sure to get that on our website. And Aaron, I just want to ask you, we've only got a minute or two left, so we'll speak quickly. But I heard you on the radio a couple of weeks ago, and this community was rocked several years ago when the two young boys died by overdose. And then I really feel like, again, a couple of weeks ago when after the two celebrity suicides that same week, two, I believe, but one young man who grew up in Park City who was known and loved died by suicide. And I just thought that you might have a few words about, what you might want to say to the community about it.
I think we're looking at or talking about suicide in the community. One thing to be aware of, we need everyone in this community to get trained in QPR. You've heard me say this multiple times. I'm almost a broken record on that, but that's a good thing. Shelley Worley over at the health department has done an incredible job in training a community core of people. We have about 30 individuals that are trained to be trainers, both in English and in Spanish. We just worked with all of the city employees, getting them trained. We're working with the county employees. We've reached out to several different businesses as well, and we're really expanding that. People keep an eye out for August. We'll be beginning open public trainings for QPR. But with this group, if you have a club, an organization, a business that you'd like us to come and do this training, please call the health department and we can make that possible.
QPR, question, persuade, refer.
Correct.
I took the training last week myself and it was really valuable. And Aaron Newman, Lynn Rutan, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck with Clubhouse.
Thank you.
And we want to thank our underwriters, Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Utah Properties,
San Francisco Design,
Valley Behavioral Health,
Park Meadows Country Club,
Utah Olympic Legacy Foundation,
Davidson Orthopedics,
and Park City Mountain. You've been listening to KPCW Park City.